50 degrees kind of ruined my introduction to my message this evening, but I would like you to imagine that you're in the city of Chicago, and instead of this unseasonable warm weather, the opposite has happened. That every prediction about the big blizzard has come true. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and the snow is coming down quite heavy, and it's below 0 degrees. And in a small break room off the city garage are some big men, some big guys, some rough guys, some guys who like to cuss a lot. And they're wearing Carhartt coveralls, quite muddy and oily. The dirtier, the better. You know the kind of guys that I'm talking about? They're the snowplow drivers. And they're standing around drinking coffee from styrofoam cups, and they're sharing all the stories of the great storms of the past. And then each of them fills their cup up, and as they're walking outside to go out to their snowplows, which are now warming up, suddenly a large light appears. The angel of the Lord is coming, but he's not coming to President Obama, who's off in Hawaii on vacation, or he's not coming to Donald Trump or to Hillary Clinton or any of the others who are vying for the next president of the United States. No, the angel of the Lord is not coming to the people that we would expect him to come to. Yes, Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, but not these guys. These guys are out in the margins. In fact, we don't even like to acknowledge that they exist until we back out of our driveway and we can't go down the road because the street hasn't been plowed yet, or the brush isn't picked up, or they make us put our yard waste in 5-gallon buckets. Oh, that's all personal. Do you think they make them do that in Chicago? But these are the ones that God chose to first know. What is it that's going, God is going to have to do to get these guys' attention? Imagine the most emotional-laden event that you have ever experienced in your life, and then multiply it many times over. That volume of emotional fear and fervor just paints a little picture of what the shepherds must have experienced on that first night. What, not only were they visited by the angel of the Lord, but they also found themselves in the multitude of the great heavenly host. What began in the shepherd's mind as just a plain, ordinary night watching their sheep would soon unfold into the most extraordinary event in the night of their lives. This blue-collar, minimum-wage group of men was about to get front seats to the Hallelujah Chorus and backstage passes to see the King. These men were simply doing their job, that which they did day and night. It was neither a glamorous job, nor was it one that was viewed in high regard at the time. In fact, at the time, it was viewed to be one of the lowest jobs that anyone could take on society's ladder. However, it was steady work, and somebody had to do it. But the outcasts would quickly become the insiders on what God was up to. The lowly shepherds quickly went from outsiders to insiders. And their new insider status filled them with great fear. It says in the Bible that they were terrified. Not only were they in the presence of the Lord, but they were also standing in the middle of the glory of the Lord, that which very few people on earth have ever had the opportunity to experience. There's Moses in the Shekinah glory at Mount Sinai, and there's Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. the shepherds find themselves in some pretty rare company. Who wouldn't be afraid? And then the angel of the Lord utters the most repeated command in all the Bible. The same command given to all the other figures of the Christmas story. Fear not. Do not be afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The shepherds, those that would be some of the last people that you would think the Lord or the angel of the Lord would appear to, were the first to receive the good news that the Savior had been born. And it was not just really good news, it was great news. Great news of great joy. The news was so good that the angel's great fear would soon be replaced by great joy. So what is it that actually makes the good news good or great? That which makes it good is that we do not need to fear anymore. If we didn't have the New Testament and we're really not that careful, then the Old Testament paints us a picture of a God who's out to punish us at every misdeed, a God who's ready to destroy us and abandon us in an instant, a God who we need to be afraid of and hide from, a hiding which started with Adam and Eve in the garden. But is that really an accurate portrayal of who God is? Even from the very first sin in the garden, God began his redemptive work of seeking lost sinners and calling them back to him. "Where are you?" God called out. And Adam answered, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself." That which really is the story of all of our lives. We hide ourselves. We really don't want other people to see what's on the inside. We know we all fall short of the glory of God, so we really only show what we want to show. We go about our daily lives, raising our families, staying busy at our jobs, doing lots of good things in the community and at church. I mean, what better way to hide? But deep down, we're all a little fearful. I don't measure up. Am I good enough? The good news is that we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be good enough. The good news of great joy would start with the shepherds, but it certainly was not intended to end with them. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You see, God decided to make a very important point by selecting who would receive the good news first. The angel of the Lord was sent to the shepherds. The good news first went to the outcasts of society, on the lowest rung of the ladder, who were out in their fields rather than the influential people who were at the top rung of the ladder, who were in a mansion or some other place. The good news is in the form of the Savior from Bethlehem is good news of great joy for all people, including the most privileged in society. But God started at the bottom and in the margins. The shepherds' occupation would have made it impossible for them to meet the religious requirements, and they would have not been allowed to worship God in the temple. The coming Savior, he who embodied the good news, came for the socially despised, the economically depressed, and the religiously shunned in the world. And the good news would extend to all people. Nobody gets left out of the joyous news of salvation. It is good news for Democrats and Republicans. It is good news for blacks and whites and everybody else in between. It's good news for the criminals and the police. It's good news for the people living in the United States, as well as all those people living in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan and North Korea and Israel and everywhere. You see, we like to pick and choose who we think the good news is for. But it doesn't work that way. Either the good news is available to everybody or it's available to nobody. Think of the person that you disagree with the most on any specific issue, or the person whose personality you find to be the most challenging. Don't point to them, just think about it. The good news is for them too. And why shepherds? There must have been other occupations on the lower rungs of society's ladder. Well, shepherds, playing a pivotal role in God's redemptive plan, is found throughout the entire biblical story. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to Moses, and then to David, where it reads in 1 Samuel, "Then Samuel asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'Well, they're still the youngest,' Jesse answered, 'but he's out tending the sheep.' Samuel said, 'Well, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.'" And then in 2 Samuel, we find God's instructions to the prophet Nathan, telling him to remind David of where he had come from before ascending to the throne. "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people, Israel." A great king with a messianic lineage that would lead to the birth of the Savior of the world in the city that was named after him, Bethlehem, the city of David. But before David would become king, he dwelled with the flocks in the pastures and the hills around Bethlehem. There is a reason why Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," has held a prominent place in the scriptures throughout the centuries. It is a psalm which captures the entire salvation story. And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Doxa is the Greek word for glory. It's where we get the word doxology today. It's very important that we notice the order of the angelic proclamation. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." First, glory to God in the highest heaven, then peace on them to whom his favor rests. The problem is, we try to make peace without God. We try and change the world ourselves, often without God. We try to change the outside without changing the inside. And all we need to do is watch the news to see what's going on in our nation and the world to see how that's working out. There is no true, lasting peace without God in the world, without God in his rightful place. What the shepherds experienced on that first Christmas night was the fulfillment of a long-awaited prophecy that God had set in place before the world even began. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." But here's the important point of the story of the shepherds. Even though the shepherds heard the message of the angel of the Lord and they experienced the heavenly host worshiping God at full volume, they still had a choice to make. They could choose to seek out the Messiah, Christ, the Lord, or not. They chose to go. In fact, it says they hurried. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw him, they made him known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So when the shepherds returned to their jobs, do you think it made shepherding sheep any easier? Sheep are going to be sheep, and sheep are going to do what they want to do, but the shepherds were changed forever. They might have gone back to their same job, their same old, stinky, boring, lonely, messy, unrewarding job, but they found what they were looking for in Jesus. They still really had no idea what it meant at the time, but they were put in the position of being the first evangelist in the history of the world. They were ordinary people with an extraordinary message. Good news of great joy for all the people. It's the same position that every single one of us is in on this Christmas Eve, 2,000 years later. Are we going to seek him with haste? And what are we going to do with him when we find him? Are we going to glorify God and praise God? And are we going to share the good news? As Christians, those are our three primary purposes for living here on earth today. Relentlessly seeking Jesus, glorifying and praising God, and sharing the good news. Yeah, it's okay to be like Mary and ponder it in your heart, at least for a little while, perhaps tonight or maybe tomorrow and through the weekend, or maybe even through the first of the year. But then do something with it, will you? Good news is not meant to be kept to ourselves. Good news is meant to be shared. Fear not. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Amen.